Begin the current daven Sefetz Kedushin Daf Lamed Ches. Begin on the bottom of Lamed Zayin Mabez, four lines up in the bottom of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the discussion of the previous Daf. That is, we had a machlekes in our Mishnah regarding mitzvahs atzlis ba'aretz. We said mitzvahs that are contingent on the land, meaning it's regarding working the land and the produce of the land, where the Tanakam of the Mishnah said that those halachas apply only in Eretz Yisrael and not in Chutz La'aretz, except for Orla and Klein. Now, Rabbi Yehuda said, Af HaChadosh, also regarding the new produce, which you're not allowed to eat from that grain up until the Karban Ayim is brought on the 16th of Nisan, that halach applies to. Now, the way Abaye explained that machlekes was that he said that the Tanakam of the Mishnah is Rabbi Shmuel, who disputes Rabbi Kiva in the Braisa regarding the halachas of Nesachim. And their machlekes was contingent upon how do you define when the Torah tells you the term Meishvei Seichem. What is it coming to tell you? Rabbi Shmuel holds the term Meishavis comes to say that the halacha that applies only in Eretz Yisrael would only apply after Yerusha v'Yeshiva, after the first 14 years when the Jewish people had to first conquer and inherit and then split up and settle the land, and that's when the halacha will be beginning. So that was the halacha by Nesachim, and so too as we brought in the previous daf regarding the halacha of Chadash, where he's the Tanakam of the Mishnah that holds it's only in Eretz Yisrael. Moreover, it actually only started after they first conquered and settled the land. Whereas Rabbi Kiva, and so too as Abai explained Rabbi Eliezer, and our Mishnah hold that Chadash applies even in Chutz La'aretz, because they learn the term Meishvei Seichem, they call you come to tell you B'chol Mokum Sha'ata Meishev, wherever the Jewish people live, not only in Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, Rabbi Kiva held the halach of Nesachim applies even by Bamas Yachid, even wherever a Jewish person is, not just by the Bamas Tzibur. And so too, the halach of Chadash applies wherever the Jewish people are, not only in Eretz Yisrael, but even the Chutz La'aretz, you're not allowed to eat from the new grain products until that it already was reaped beforehand, and then the 16th of Nisan had passed by, where in the times of the Beis HaMikdash required the Karban HaOmer. That was their machlekes. So now the Gemara continues as follows and says, Bishleim Laman the Amar Moishav, we could understand very well according to the opinion that holds, which is the Rabbi Kiva we mentioned and Rabbi Eliezer of our Mishnah, that they learn when it says in the Torah the word Moishav, what it comes to tell you is, Kamakam Sha'atim Yeshiv Mamashma, it means to say that wherever the Jewish people live, in other words, so for example, regarding the halacha of Chadosh, of the Isra of eating from the new grain, it's not coming to say that it's only after the Jewish people enter Eretz Yisrael and inherit and split up the and settle the land, of the term of Meishav, of settling. No, that's not what the term Meishvei Seichem comes to say. It means to say, well, actually, it was maybe right when they came into Eretz Yisrael, the halacha of Chadosh applied. Actually, Meishvei Seichem is coming to say that it's not only in Eretz Yisrael, it's even wherever they are, even in the diaspora, even in Chutz La'aretz. So according to that opinion, Hain Dechsev, so this that it says in the beginning of Sefer Yeshua, V'yoichlu ma'avar ha'aretz, mimacharas ha'pesach, that they ate from the grain of the land, only from the day after Pesach, on the 16th of Nisan, well, it makes sense. Mimacharas ha'pesach ha'chol, that they came to Eretz Yisrael on the 10th of Nisan, only 6 days later, on the 16th of Nisan, the day after the beginning of Pesach, did they eat it? Me'ikar lo yachol, but before they didn't. Why? Alma, we see, as we continue on top of Lamed Ches Amud Aleph, because Akrav Oimer v'hadar achol, first they had to bring the Karban Oimer, and then they were able to eat from the new grain. Because the Isra of Chadash applied right away when they came into Eretz Yisrael. Because Meishvei Seichem doesn't tell you you have to wait till after you conquer and settle, which took 14 years. It comes to tell you that it's no matter where the Jewish people are. But Elaman the Amar La'acha Yerusha B'Yeshiva, according to Rabbi Shmuel, that he learns the term Meishvei Seichem, as we explained in the previous daf, means to say that the halacha, in this case, let's say Chadish, only applies after they first inherit and settle the land, which took many years. Senechel Alter, so they should have eaten from the new grain right away. Why did they wait 6 days? Why did they wait till after the first day after Pesach? Which seemingly seems like because the Issur Chadish applied already, but according to Rabbi Shmuel, didn't apply for the next 14 years. So the Gemara answers, you're right. Lo havet tzrichi. They just didn't need from the grain because they had enough mun in their utensils. The mun was what they ate in the Midbar, which was this miraculous food that came down from Shemayim. That food, they had just come from the Midbar. They crossed over the Yarden and they just came into Eretz Yisrael. For the next few days, they still had mun, and that's why they only started eating a day after Pesach, but not because of the Isra of Chadash. You're right. The Isra of Chadash didn't apply for the next 14 years. It's just because they didn't need. Dechsev, like it says in the Pasuk in Shemayim. It says, Uvenei Yisrael achol es amana arbor mishana. It says that the Jewish people ate the manna for 40 years, ad boyim el arts neishabas, until they came to the settled land of Eretz Yisrael. Es aman achlu ad boyim el katzei Eretz Kanan. They ate the manna until they came to the edge of Eretz Kanan. Now, first the Gemara discusses, seemingly it's a contradiction in the pasuk. Because ef shaloimer ad boyim el arts neishabas, you can't say that they ate the manna until they came to the what's called the Transjordan, meaning over to the Eretz Yisrael proper, which was more chashiv than the land of Sichon and Oig, as we find by Moshe that he desired to enter into Eretz Yisrael, although he was already in part of Eretz Yisrael, which was the Transjordan part, and he called that the Eretz Toivah, the good land, so which is called the Eretz Neshavas, the settled land, the desired land. So you can't say that they ate them on until they came into Eretz Yisrael proper when they crossed over the Jordan, Shekvar Nemer El Katzei Eretz Kanan, because the Pasuk already says that they only ate until the edge of Eretz Kanan, which is in Arvas Mayiv, which is Transjordan, meaning the part out of Eretz Yisrael, where that's where Moshe Rabbeinu passed away, which is the land of the Emori, which is by the edge of the Yarden, not crossing over into Eretz Yisrael proper, which is already considered the edge of Eretz Kanan. Actually, that's where some of the tribes actually lived. They crossed over, then they came back to live over there. Now, V'yef Shalem El Katzei Eretz Kanan, but at the same time, you can't say that they only ate the man up until before they crossed over the Yarden, which is by the edge of Eretz Kanan, Shekvar Nemad Boim El Eretz Neshavas, because the Pasuk also says that they ate it up until they came into Eretz Yisrael proper. So Haketzat, so the Gemara wants to know, how do you learn the Pasuk? It's contradictory in the terms of when did they eat the man till? Up until the land of Moav, or up until when they crossed over the Yarden into Eretz Yisrael itself? So that's what the Gemara explains, and that's we'll resolve for Rabbi Shmuel, why did they only eat from the new grain until Mimachar Asa Pesach, as the Gemara said, because they didn't need, they still had mun, which is, B'shiva ba'adar meis Moshe upasig mun mileirit. Truth is, on the 7th of Adar, Moshe Rabbeinu passed away, and the mun stopped coming down from Shemayim. That was B'ktzei Eretz Kanan, that was in the land of Moav, that's when the mun stopped. But, V'hoyu mistapkin mimun shebechleihem, but they were able to sustain themselves from the mun that they still had in their vessels, Ad Shisha Asa B'Nisan, up until the 16th of Nisan, which was in Eretz Neshavas. So that's how you understand the two different terms in the Pasuk, where yes, they're both true. It stopped in B'Ktzei Eretz Kanan, but they were able to continue eating it up until Eretz Neshavas, and that also answers why they only ate by the 16th of Nisan, not because of the Esav Chadosh, but rather because they didn't need to eat yet, because they still had the man when up until they entered into Eretz Neshavas, which again lasted them, even though they came over on the 10th, lasted them up until the 16th of Nisan. Related discussion, the Gemara brings Tan Iduch, we learn another Braisa. It says, Ubnei Yisrael achlu es aman abam shana, like we just quoted this pasuk before, that says the Jewish people ate the man for 40 years. Now this Braisa asks, V'chi arbam shana achlu, did they really eat the man for 40 years? But v'haloy arbam shana chasur shloishim yoyim achlu, but they ate it for 40 years minus 30 days. The reason being is because for the first 30 days when they left Egypt, they were sustaining themselves from the doughs, which is where the source of eating the matzah came out, which is because it baked so fast, it was so hot, and they ate those matzahs. Those doughs is what they ate for the first 30 days. Like it says in Shmais Tezayin, it says, V'yisu me'elim, they travel from Elim. V'yivoyu kol adas b'nei Yisrael el Midbar Sin, and they came to Midbar Sin, asher bein Elim or bein Sinai, which has been between Elim and Sinai. V'chamisha asu yem l'chodesh hasheni, on the 15th of the second month, meaning they left on the 15th of the first month, which is the 15th of Nisan. They traveled, and then a month later, it says over there, B'shivtein Asir Habas, they were complaining how we used to have and the fatty meat we ate in Mitzrayim. And then it says, Hini mamtu lechem lechem, Shem said, I will rain down for you bread, which is a reference to the manna. So we see that only on the 16th of Iyar did the manna start coming down. So how could we say they ate it for 40 years, although they were in the midbar for 40 years, but the first 30 days, they were actually eating the doughs. They didn't start the manna until 30 days in. And they went into Eretz Yisrael by Nisan already. The Braisa comes, it says, it's coming to tell you, although it says they ate the manna for 40 years, is because Mitzrayim, what it's coming to say is that the dough that they took out of Mitzrayim, tamu behem tam man. It was like eating manna for 40 years because they already had the taste of man right then, which was the generic taste that man had, and then you could have whatever flavor you want to have. The certain taste that the man had, that already was in their dough, so they technically, on this level, ate man for all 40 years. Another related discussion to the first Braisa, is Tan Yiduch, learn another Braisa that says, B'shiva ba'adar meis Moshe. As we said regarding that first Braisa to explain how do we understand the inconsistency of the Pasuk, where yes, it stopped in Ktzei Eretz Kanan, because Moshe Benu, he passed away on the 7th of Adar, and that's what we said, that's when the month stopped falling. B'shiva ba'adar noilad, and on the 7th day of Adar, that same day was the day that he was born. So he passed away on the day that he was born. So the Braisa explains, B'nayin she b'shiva ba'adar meis. But where do we know that he passed away on the 7th of Adar? Says the Braisa Shnema, it says the Pasuk in Devarim, the Yamasham Moshe Ever Hashem, that Moshe Rabbeinu passed away over there, the servant of Hashem. Uch 7, it says later on, V'yithku b'nei Yisrael es Moshe ba'arves Moiv shleishim yayim, that For 30 days, the Jewish people cried and mourned Moshe Rabbeinu in Arvis Mayev for those 30 days. Now, Ksiv, it says in the beginning of Sefer Yeshua, which continues that narrative from the end of the Chumash going into Nach, it says, Vayihi achrei Moshe Eved Hashem, that it was after Moshe, the servant of Hashem, passed away. Ksiv, it says afterwards, Moshe Avdi Meis, my servant Moshe passed away, Hashem says to Yeshua, Va'ata now kumavar, go and cross over the Jordan to go into Eretz Yisrael, to conquer Eretz Yisrael. Now, Tosfos explains that obviously you have the calculation as follows. There was the 30 days, as we're going to calculate, if he passed away on the 7th of Adar. So the next 30 days they mourned him, which was up until the 7th of Nisan. Now, the next day after the mourning is when Hashem spoke to Yeshua. Now, how do you know it's the next day that he spoke to Yeshua? Because obviously he didn't speak to him before, and because the Shechin is not Shoira on the person, Mitech Atzvas, when the person is sad and depressed and down. And Yeshua, when they're mourning, was obviously crying and mourning over his primary Rebbe, Moshe Rabbeinu, the great leader of the Jewish people. So obviously, the Shechinah, Hashem, was not talking to him then. So it was only on the day after, on the 8th of Nisan, that Hashem finally spoke to him. Uch 7, it says later on, Ivru bekerav ha-machne, go in the midst of the camp, Vitzavu es'am lemer, command the people, saying, Hechinu lechem tzeder, prepare for yourselves provisions, ki be'oit shleishis yamim, because within 3 days, and as the Gersa is, Atem Oivim Es HaYarden, you're going to be crossing over the Jordan. Now, from the fact that Yeshua commanded them to travel, to prepare for them 3 days, and then on the 3rd day is when they're going to cross over the Jordan, as it says, Bo'ish Leishis Yamim, so Uksiv, it says later on, it says, Vo'am Olam in the Yarden, and when did they come and cross over the Jordan? Be'osr Lachay Desharishin, on the 10th of the first month, meaning on the 10th of Nisan. So it says the Braisa, you have to calculate as follows. So you subtract, if you're by the 10th of Nisan crossed over the Jordan, so subtract 30 days, which was the Avelis of Moshe, and Vishleisha Yamim, and 3 days, which were the days of preparation after the mourning of Moshe Rabbeinu. Lemafrei, if you go backwards, retroactive, you have 10 of Nisan, you have 23 days of Adar. If you go backwards, Halamata, what you learn, Yeshabeshiva Ba'adar, Mes Moshe, that in the 7th day of Adar, Moshe Rabbeinu passed away, which was 6 days of Adar had already passed. So on the 7th day, plus 23 days, makes it up to the 29th. Adar is a chaser, is only 29 days. So you have 23 days, plus you have the 10 days of Nisan, which are 33. That's for the 30 days of mourning and the 3 days of preparation. And then they crossed over. So on the 8th of the Nisan is when Hashem finally spoke to him after the mourning of Moshe. 8, 9, 10, on the 10th they went and they crossed over. That is how we know that Moshe Rabbeinu passed away on the 7th of Adar. Now, Uminayin Shebeshiva Ba'adun Noyle Moshe, how do we know that on the 7th day of Adar he was born? Shademelech says, the Pasuk in Devarim, it says, V'yema Aleim, that Moshe Rabbeinu said to them, Ben Me'ev Esim Shana Noichayim, I am 120 years old today. La'uchel Oid Lotzes V'lova, I can't go and come anymore. Now, She'in Tamalem Hayim, the Brisa says, there's really nothing that it's teaching us when he says today. Of course, today, you're talking today, he's saying 120 years old. Why saying today? Ma Tamalem Hayim. What this comes to teach is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu fills and completes the years of the righteous from day to day and from month to month. Shalom, like says the Pasuk in Shemais, Es Mispar Yomecha Amali, that the numbers of your days I will complete, which means to say that they have full years, full days, full months, which means to say that exactly the amount of years he's supposed to live to the day is when he passes away. So the day that he passed away, which we know is the 7th of Adar, must mean that was the day that he was born. Now, returning to the subject of our Mishnah, which was the discussion in the previous daf, the Gemara says, Tanya, we learn the Braisa. Reb Shimon ben Yochi Omer, he says, Shalosh mitzvahs nitztavu Yisrael. There were 3 mitzvahs that the Jewish people were commanded, which is in reference to the mitzvah of Chodesh, which now that they eat the new grain up until the Karban Omer is burned on the 6th of Nisan. The halach of Arla, that the first 3 years of a fruits of a tree's fruits, you're not allowed to eat them. And Kliyim, which is the prohibition of making prohibited mixtures of different species, planting them together. These 3 mitzvahs were commanded to the Jewish people, b'chnisasim la'aretz, when they entered into Eretz Yisrael. Now the reason for that is because in the desert, they weren't planting, they weren't reaping, and they weren't planting planting trees, so there's no halacha of Chadosh, Arla, and Kliyim. Now, says Reb Shimon ben Yochai, ben Haggis, and these 3 mitzvahs apply, bein ba'aretz, bein mechutz la'aretz. So though they only were commanded it when they came into Eretz Yisrael, because there was no planting in the desert, but they're not mitzvahs that apply only in Eretz Yisrael. They apply both in Eretz Yisrael and chutz la'aretz. And says Reb Shimon ben Yochai, v'hu ha'din she'yinhagu. And it's a kavochaymer, and the law dictates that these halachas should apply even in chutz la'aretz. Now, the reason for that is because the mitzvah of Chodesh It says explicitly in the Torah the term Moishev, Moishvei Seichem. And as Rashi points out, Rabbi Shimon ben Yochi holds, like Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Eliezer, that the term Moishev means to say B'chol Mokum Shatim Yeshev, wherever you live, which is not only in Eretz Yisrael, but even Chutz La'aretz. And Orel and Klaim, learns out of Kavachimer from the Isser of Chadash. As follows, Uma Chadash, if we find by the Mitzvah of Chadash, which the Torah says explicitly applies to Chutz La'aretz. Again, according to Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Shimon ben Yochi. She'ein Isurei Isser Oilam, where it's not a prohibition that's eternal, because it only applies for the 16th of Nisan, where it says Ad Etzem Hayom Hazeh. It's only something that's up until that day. Ve'ein Isurei Isser Hanoa, and it's not an Isser that says that the new crop, you're not allowed to have pleasure from it, because actually, as the Mishnah says in Masechtas Menachos, you can tear off the Shachas, which is the beginnings of a new plantation, and you can feed it to your animal. So though it's Chadash, you're allowed to have Hanoa from it. And v'yesh heter li'isurei, there's even actually, for what is prohibited, because it's not yet the 16th of Nisan, which we said is not an Isser Oilam, because after the 16th of Nisan, it's automatically permitted, but what's from before is that the 16th of Nisan itself permits, if you bring a carbon oimer, what was up until now for prohibited. So, and still nohig bein ba'aretz bein mechutz la'aretz, and still, although it has these three leniencies, it still is stringent in the fact that the mitzvah, although it's regarding planting, applies both in Eretz Yisrael and chutz la'aretz. So klaim, she'isur in Isser Oilam. So regarding planting prohibited mixtures, which is an eternal prohibition. In other words, one is never, whenever anyone plants a wheat seed with a grape seed, so those grapes are forbidden forever, no matter how long it's for. And v'isur in Isra Hanoah, it's also prohibited to have any pleasure from those grapes. As the Pasuk says in Devarim Chabeis Tikdash, that's the term it uses to create the Isser, which is a terminology of Hekdash, that you don't have Hanoah from it. V'ein hetali isur, and there's nothing that will permit klein, you can't do anything. Whereas like by Chadash, you could bring the carbon oimer, there's nothing to permit it. So if it has these three stringencies, ein adin sheyinagu bein ba'aretz bein mechutz la'aretz, isn't a kavo chaymer, that it will have the stringency of applying both in Eretz Yisrael and the chutz la'aretz. And b'hu adin la'ar l'bishtayim, the same thing applies, that regarding arlam, then this kavo chaymer of Chadash, regarding two of the proofs, although the third one doesn't apply, because actually the issa of arlam is not an issa oilam, because after the fourth year and on, it's actually permitted the produce, but it does have an Isra Hanoah, and there is, when regarding the first 3 years, there's nothing that permits the Paris of Arla. So from those 2 points, there's a Kavu Chaymer from Chadash. We have Chadash's Aser in Chutz La'aretz, just like in Eretz Yisrael, so to Vaklayim and for Arla. And again, this is the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer and not Mishnah, which the Tanakhama had said only Klayim and Arla, which applies, even though it's Dava Tola Ba'aretz, applies in Chutz La'aretz, whereas Rabbi Eliezer had said it applies also regarding the Halacha of Chadash. That's Reb Shimon ben Yochi's opinion. Reb Elazar ben Reb Shimon Eimer, Reb Elazar, the son of Reb Shimon ben Yochi, he disagrees with his father, and he actually held that the Issa of Chadash does not apply in Chutz La'aretz. Rather, he holds like Reb Yishmal, that the term Yishavis actually comes to refer to something else, which is La'acha Yerusha v'Yeshiva, but it doesn't come to say it applies wherever it is. And although everyone agreed in our Mishnah, even the Tanakhama, that Orla and Klayim do apply in Chutz La'aretz, that's only because of a halacha, as we'll see that what that means, halacha, or rabbinically, as the Gemara will later on explain. But he disagrees, he disputes that you can't learn out Arlan Klein from a Kavah Chamin from Chadish, because he actually holds Chadish itself is actually only forbidden in the Eretz Yisrael, not on Chutz La'aretz. So he says, as we continue in Talmud Beis, he says, Kol mitzvah shenitztavu Yisrael, he says, any mitzvah which was commanded upon the Jewish people to accustom themselves, to already start practicing that mitzvah, Koidim kenisas in the arts before they ever entered into Eretz Yisrael, in other words, what's called a chayvus aguf, as we said in the Mishnah, a mitzvah that's obligated in the person's body, that's naheges bein ba'aretz bein b'chutz la'aretz. That, he says, I agree to you, will apply both in Eretz Yisrael and chutz la'aretz. But la'achar kenisas in la'aretz, but regarding mitzvahs that were only commanded to them after they entered into Eretz Yisrael, which is the case by Chadash and Orla and Klayim, because there was no planting to practice it in the Midbar, those halachas actually only apply in Eretz Yisrael, and therefore he disputes his halach of his father regarding Chadash, and so to Arlan Klaim, as we'll see, that Arlan Klaim have different reasons why they apply in Chutz La'aretz, but regarding the primary law, they only apply in Eretz Yisrael. Chutz b'nashmatas kesaf, he says, except for the canceling of loans by the Shemitah year, which the Gemara shortly is going to ask, that, what do you mean? This is a mitzvah that they were commanded to do even in the Midbar, because it's a chayvus aguf, it has nothing to do with the land. So why is he saying, except for that which it will apply in Chutz La'aretz? And v'shaluach avadim, and sending away the slaves when it comes time for the Yevil year, sha'afa pishin stava aleim la'achar k'nisas in la'aretz, because although they were commanded this only after they entered into Eretz Yisrael, But neheges b'me'aretz, b'me'chutz la'aretz, it's still going to apply not only in Eretz Yisrael, but even in Chutz La'aretz too. But he says, I dispute you, father, regarding the halacha of Chadash, that it's not going to apply in Chutz La'aretz. Since they were commanded only when they entered into Eretz Yisrael, it will apply only in Eretz Yisrael. Now the Gemara asked the question that we just mentioned, Hashmatis kesafim chayvas agofi. Why is he saying that anything that's commanded only when they enter Eretz Yisrael, obviously it's talu ba'aretz and it's only going to be in Eretz Yisrael, except for Shemitas Kesafim? What do you mean? Why would that be something they were only commanded when they entered the Eretz Yisrael? If they borrowed it in the Midbar for those 40 years, of course it would be canceled when it comes to the Shemitah year. Why would that be? It's a Chayvas Agov, it has nothing to do with land. So why would that be something that you would think to say would only be in Eretz Yisrael? So now the Gemara says, Lo Nitzucha El Kedetanya. No, it was necessary, because as we learned in the Braisa, that actually the Jewish people were not commanded in the midst of Shemitas Kesafim, of canceling loans by the Shemitah year, before they entered into Eretz Yisrael. So therefore it was necessary for Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon to say that it will apply in Chutz La'aretz, but it only applies at a time when they entered into Eretz Yisrael. The time like we learned in the Braisa. Rabbi Yaimer, he says, the Pasuk in Devarim says, V'zeh Devar HaShemitah Shamit, that this is the word of Shemitah that it cancels. Now, it's redundant, HaShemitah Shamit. So says Rabbi, B'shtei Shemitah Zekasim Adab. Actually, the Pasuk is referencing two different types of cancellations. What does that mean? Acha Shemitah's Karka. One is the resting, the cancellation of the land. You don't work the land on Shemitah. V'acha Shemitah's Kesafim. One's a reference to the cancellation, the resting of the monies of the loans. What that's coming to teach, says Rabbi, is bizman sha'at meshamet karka, only at a time when you have the Shemitah's Karkois, meaning once the Jewish people entered into Eretz Yisrael, then you have Shemitah's Karkois, then at the meshamet kesafim, then you'll have the halacha of canceling the loans. Now, that will be like Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon says, even the chutz la'aretz. But it was necessary to say because actually they were only commanded it when they entered into Eretz Yisrael. So although it's a chayves aguv, but you would think based on his criterion, there would only be a mitzvah in Eretz Yisrael because they only commanded when they came to Eretz Yisrael. And how do we know they only commanded when they came to Eretz Yisrael if it's a chayves aguv? Because as Rabbi said, because we're finding that it's compared to Shemitah's Karka, and that was only when they entered Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, bizman she'iyat meshamet karka, at a time when there is no cancellation of the land, for example, when they were still in the Midbar, or after the Churban Beis HaMikdash, when they go into Galus, then iyat meshamet kesafim, actually then there is no biblical halacha of canceling the loans of the debts. So therefore, it was necessary for Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon to say, although it was only commanded when they entered into Eretz Yisrael, but when they are having Shemitah's karka in Eretz Yisrael, then the halacha of Shemitah's kesafim will apply even in Chutz La'aretz. Now, that the Gemara asks, how do you know to say from the comparison of Shemitah's Karka to Shemitah's Kesafim that it's regarding the timing? But actually, Ve'ema, you should say, B'makim Sha'at Meshamet Karka, in the place where you have Shemitah's Karka, meaning in Eretz Yisrael, maybe only there at the Meshamet Kesafim. That's where you have the cancellation of the loans. But a B'makim Sha'at Meshamet Karka, in the place where you don't have Shemitah's Karka, meaning in Chutz La'aretz, in at the Meshamet Kesafim, then you do not have Shemitah Kesafim, maybe actually not like Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon. Maybe the Pasuk is actually coming to exclude that even at a time when you have the halachas in Eretz Yisrael, it will not apply in Chutz La'aretz. So why does he say that Shemitah Kesafim will apply even in Chutz La'aretz? Maybe actually from this Pasuk, from the comparison, it should not be regarding Zman Shemitah Kesafim, but actually B'makim Shemitah Kesafim, which is only in Eretz Yisrael. So that Tamalayma, that's what the Pasuk teaches over there, Kikara Shemitah LaHashem, because you will announce a resting for Hashem, which sounds like Mikal Malkim, and wherever it is, which is not only in Eretz Yisrael, but even the Chutz La'aretz, which is referencing regarding Shemitah's Kesafim, that's even the Chutz La'aretz, but it's only at a time, Bizman Kinisas in La'aretz, so that's why you have to say that as an exception, that although it was commanded when they came into Eretz Yisrael, which generally is something that applies only in Eretz Yisrael, Shemitah's Kesafim is something that will apply even the Chutz La'aretz, again, according to what Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon was coming to say, where Chadash was only commanded when you come in, so therefore it's only in Eretz Yisrael, but Shemitah Kesafim is an exception. Now, another exception that he said was regarding Shiluach HaVadim, sending the slaves back home in the Yovel year. Now, that the Gemara asked him, too, Shiluach HaVadim, Chayvus HaGofi. What do you mean? Sending back the slave is an obligation regarding nothing to do with land. It's when the Yovel year comes around, so it's regarding the body of the owner and the slave. You got to send them back home. Why do I need to have a ribui to tell you that, meaning the Rebbe Elazar coming to tell you, that will apply even in out of Eretz Yisrael? Of course, it's not a mitzvah hatoli ba'aretz, it's toli beguf. So why would you think that it would be only in Eretz Yisrael? So on that, the Gemara says, I would have thought to say, since the Pasuk says, Mayikra ukrasim dray ba'aretz, that you announce the freedom in the land, which would tell me, which that's halacha that says that all the people's lands and the slaves, they all go back to their rightful place in the Yovel year. I would say ba'aretz in b'chutz la'aretz lai. Yes, that only applies in Eretz Yisrael and not in chutz la'aretz. Tamalai ma'yevel he. That's what the pasuk teaches. It is yevel, which tells you mikamakim wherever it is. Meaning, even the chutz la'aretz, the halacha will be that the slaves will go back to themselves when it comes to the yevel year. And that's what Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon had to teach. Now, if so, the Gemara asks him, Cain, ma tamalai ma ba'aretz. Now, what does the pasuk teach when it says across from droy ba'aretz that you'll announce liberty in the land if it's not tali ba'aretz, that the halacha of yevel will apply even the chutz la'aretz? So the Gemara explains, Bizman Shahadrar Noig Ba'aretz. So what the pasuk is coming to tell you is that because at the time when the halachas of Yevel apply in Eretz Yisrael, then Noig B'chutz La'aretz. Then the halachas will apply similarly in Chutz La'aretz. But and therefore, yes, the halacha of freeing the slaves and sending them back home will apply in Chutz La'aretz too. But it's coming to say that it's only at the time when it applies in Eretz Yisrael. Ein Dror Noig Ba'aretz, Ein Noig B'chutz La'aretz. But if it doesn't apply in Eretz Yisrael anymore, there was a time in during the times of the second Beis Hamikdash, when Yevil stopped applying, then those halachas will stop applying in Chutz La'aretz too. But the actual halacha of Shiluach Avadim applies just as well in Chutz La'aretz, as Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon is explaining. The Gemara continues on these halachas. Nan Hasam. We learned over there in Mishnah Masechtas Arla that says, Chadash Asim in Atari B'chol Makom. The halacha of Chadash, of the new grain, that it's forbidden to be eaten before the 16th of Nisan, is Asr in every place, which as Rashi points out, this Tana of this Mishnah Masechet Arla obviously holds like Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Eliezer, where they learn the term Moishvei Seichem that it says throughout, but also by the Issa of Chadash, is B'chol Makom Shatam Yeshem, that it means wherever the Jewish people live, meaning even in the diaspora. So the Issa of Chadash applies everywhere. Now, Arla, that it applies in Chutz La'aretz, is a halacha, which is that the tree's first 3 years are forbidden. And because although it's a davar tala ba'aretz, it should be only in Eretz Yisrael, but a halacha tells us it's similarly in Chutz La'aretz. And v'aklayim divrei seifrim, klayim prohibited mixtures of mixing a grape seed with a wheat seed, which in Eretz Yisrael is biblical, in Chutz La'aretz it's rabbinic. Now the Gemara asks to explain this Mishnah Masechtas Arla, my halacha. What does it mean? And we explain the opinion of Rav Elazar ben Shimon similarly like this. What does it mean that Arla in Chutz La'aretz is a halacha? So Amar Rabbi Yehuda Mashmol, he says, Hilchasa Medina. It means to say that the Jewish people had accustomed themselves in Chutz La'aretz to accustom themselves that Arla is forbidden. But it's not a biblical halacha. It's saying Hilchasa Medina. That's what it means, halacha. From the learning of halicha, so that's what they accustomed themselves to. Ula Amar B'yech, and then he says, Halacha L'maish M'sinai. No, when it says the term halacha, it means Halacha L'maish M'sinai, which is a biblical halacha. It was passed down from Maisha, from Sinai, that Arla is forbidden, similarly in Chutz La'aretz. Now, Amalei Ula Rabbi Huda. So Ula asked Rabbi Huda, he says, Bishleimi lididi da min halacha l'maish m'sinai. It very well understood, according to me, that I said in interpretation of this Mishnah Masechet this Arla, that Arla is halacha in Chutz La'aretz. It means halacha l'maish m'sinai, biblical law. So hayni d'shan ilan bein savak Arla l'savak klam. So now you can very well understand, as is taught over there in the Mishnah Masechet this Arla, why there's a differentiation in halacha in Chutz La'aretz between when there's a doubt regarding if this is our forbidden Arla, or if this is a doubt regarding if it's a Isser of Klein. Meaning, as we'll see, that there's more stringency that applies to Suffolk Arla than to Suffolk Klein. Because, according to Ula, it makes sense. Arla is a halacha l'maishah b'sinai, it's biblical law. By Suffolk Deraisa, we're going to be l'chumer, we're going to be stringent. But regarding Klein, which is purely rabbinic, there we're going to be lenient. It's not like learned over there in the Mishnah Masechet this Arla. It says, first, regarding Suffolk Arla, when there's a doubt regarding Arla, either the doubt is you're not sure if 3 years had passed yet, so is it Arla or not, or it's an orchard where there's many different saplings, some which are in their first 3 years, and some which are old already. And then the non-Jews working there pluck from the fruits. Now you don't know which one they picked from, so it's Suffolk Arla. So says the Mishnah, Ba'aretz Aser, in Eretz Yisrael, where Arla is a biblical halacha, so Suffolk Deraisa, there's going to be lechumer, it's going to be forbidden. Now Besuria, which is Aram Tzaiva, which David HaMelech had conquered, and he added that to the part to Eretz Yisrael, but the Tana of this Mishnah Masechtas Arla hold Kibush Yachid, the conquering of an individual, which was David HaMelech, is Loishmei Kibush, is not considered conquering Eretz Yisrael as if it has all the halachas of Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, the doubts by Surya, since it's not really Eretz Yisrael, are going to be mutter, they're going to be permitted, which the Gemara on the next daf is going to ask. But if, according to Ula, the halachas and Chutz La'aretz of Arla are halacha l'maishah m'sinai, are biblical, even the Chutz La'aretz, so how could you be lenient by a suffix? It's still a suffix d'araisa, just like in Eretz Yisrael. And that the Gemara is going to answer that actually is what halacha l'maishah m'sinai said. Halacha l'maishah m'sinai said that it's only when the definite Arla that it's also in Chutz La'aretz. but actually the doubtful Arla in Chutz La'aretz, the Halacha Meshe Messina said, that's actually going to be permitted. That was actually part of the Halacha Meshe Messina. So in Syria, it's going to be permitted when it's a Safik. Now, Chutz La'aretz, says the Mishnah, Masechtas Arla, in Chutz La'aretz, meaning which is very far from Eretz Yisrael, which would not even get mixed up with the Halachas of the Paris of Eretz Yisrael, then Yerid, then actually a Jew could go down to the orchard, Vilakech, and he could purchase from a non-Jew who went and took from an orchard that has saplings that are older and younger, and the Jew knows that he went over there and he plucked it initially. A Jew could go and buy from him, as long as the Jew didn't see when the non-Jew went to be like it, when he went to pluck from what is possibly Arla. Now, as Rashi points out, although we just said before that in Surya it's mutter, so what that means to say is that when it was already plucked, and then you have a doubt, okay, then you could eat it in Surya. But like at Chila, initially, you're not allowed to go down and put yourself in that situation where you know you're going to be taking from Safik Arla, in contrast to Chutz La'aretz, which is even further, where you could go initially, go, and you could take whatever you want, as long as you don't see him picking from the Arla one, even though it might be Arla. In Chutz La'aretz, you can go ahead and do that. And that's regarding the halachas of Arla. Now, V'ilu gabi klaim tnan, however, in contrast to the halachas of klaim, we find a difference, which is more lenient regarding the halachas of Chutz La'aretz. The Mishnah there says, Karam hanatua yarek, regarding a vineyard, that one planted herbs over there, which is between the grapevines, they planted vegetables. Now, therefore, there is a doubt if it was planted in Isra or not, which would make it into Klai HaKerem. Now, the Yarek Nimka Chutzlai. Now, right outside that vineyard, that person was selling those Yarekis, those herbs. Now, you have to be suspect that maybe those were from herbs that grew in the vineyard, and they're doubtfully Klaim. So the halacha is as follows. Ba'aretz aser, in Eretz Yisrael, it's prohibited. It's a subject that raisa, you go l'chomer stringency, it's forbidden. B'Surya mutter, as we said before regarding Arla and Surya, which is not Eretz Yisrael, for these halachas, are going to be permitted because of its doubt. As we said, that's part of the halacha Mishmei Sinai. B'chutz la'aretz, however, in further way in the diaspora, which the halacha of Klaim is only rabbinic, as we said, Medivri Seifrim, so Yairid, so the non-Jew could go down, V'loikid, and he could go and pick literally from the Klaim and sell it to the observant Jew. Ubavad shelo yilkit, as long as the Jew himself does not go ahead and pick it, biyad, buy it with his own hands. But he can see the non-Jew taking it and he can buy it from him. Now, the question Ula has to Rabbi Huda is, that now, if it's true that Arla in Chutz La'aretz is rabbinic, and you learned halacha means halacha medini, that's just what the Jews accustom themselves, meaning it's rabbinic law, not biblical law, it's not halacha Meshe Mesinai. So why is it that the Mishnah over there, Masechet Arla, is being more stringent by Safek Arla than Safek Klayim? Because by Safek Arla, you can't see him picking, you can't see it said. You can let him pick, it might be the Arla, but you can't see. Yet by Klayim, they said you could even see him, as long as you don't do it with your hands, he could do it and pick it and give it to you, because it's only rabbinic law. Now, how do we understand that if they're both rabbinic according to your interpretation? According to me, it's Halacha Meshe Mesinai. So that was part of the Halacha Meshe Mesinai, and therefore we're more stringent by Arla. But according to you, why is there more of a stringency? As the Gemara says, El Didach, according to you, that Arla and Chutz La'aretz is rabbinic, as we continue on top of Lamed Tesem and Aleph, said Nisni, it should say regarding Arla and Klaim, both of them should say, Oizeh v'zeh yorid v'lekeach, either that both of them, that the person could go down and purchase, but as long as he doesn't see. Ezev is a yerd v'loikir, or that actually regarding both halachas, Arla and Klaim, you can go down and even have the non-Jew pick it in front of you, as long as you don't pick it yourself. Because the halacha of the rabbinic prohibition of Chutz La'aretz was only if you plant or if you pick it by hand. But why should there be a discrepancy between Arla and Klaim if seemingly the same halacha of the Rabban according to you? Tushti Gemara answers, you're right. Ha'amalei Shmuel Rabban, and Shmuel said Rabban, and Tanei, you should teach in this Mishnah, Ezev is a yerd v'lekech, even if say by both. There is a discrepancy in terms, the way it's written in the Mishnais that we had in our text. But that's what Shmuel said to Rav Anan, and this resolves it according to Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Either say by both Arla and Klaim that you could have the non-Jew go down and purchase, but as long as the Jew doesn't see, I mean he could purchase from him as long as he didn't see him picking. Or by both of them it should say that you could have the non-Jew go down and actually pick it in front of the Jew as long as the Jew doesn't do it by his hand. But you're right, there is no difference the way it should be written in that Mishnah Masechet Arla according to Rabbi Yehuda. Now the Gemara concludes, Ma bered rabbanan masnan leila kula. He actually learns it like the more lenient interpretation, that it says by both, by both of them it says that the non-Jew could go down and pick it in front of the Jew, as long as the Jew, as long as the Jew doesn't do it with his own hands, because both Arla and Klaim are rabbinic in Chutz Laretz. Now, moreover, Omalei Levi Lishmuel, Levi said to Shmuel, Aryeh, which the term he gave to Shmuel, Sapek Li, make this doubtful for me. In other words, pick it not in front of me, so for me it's going to be doubtful. Vano Eichel, and this Arla, I'll eat it, as we said, because I don't care, meaning it could be possibly Arla, but that's the Halacha in Chutz Laretz, that we find that as even more than just a Safek. You could create the Safek as long as you don't see it being done. And he says, go ahead and do it, and I'll go ahead and eat this Arla in Chutz Laretz. Moreover, Rav Avi, Rav Rabba, Rav Chonan, Misafku, Safuki, La Dodi. That's what they would do for each other. He would go ahead and he wouldn't know which one's the Arla, and then he could eat it because it's a Safek Arla. As we said, as long as you didn't see, that's the unique Halacha for Arla. And also Klaim, regarding this interpretation of Yehuda in Chutz Laretz, that both of them are the same thing, this either Zebeze Yored V'Lekeach or Zebeze Yored V'Loikid. Again, the doubtful halacha, as we learned in that Mishnah Masechet, this Arla, where Ula had thought would show his interpretation of Halacha Moshe Mesinai, of Arla versus the Dibri Seif Maklaim. And that's what the Gemara said, no, that actually it was taught that it shouldn't be any discrepancy. Both should be either Zebeze Yored V'Lekeach or Zebeze Yored V'Loikid, as long as you don't see, or is that you don't do it by hand, even if you see, as we see, some Amaram would follow this halacha, where it's okay, it could really be Arla, and there's no problem. You can even create such a situation as long as you don't see it beforehand being made into the Arla. You can go ahead and eat it in Chutz Laretz.